What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Pickleball Connection. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to hang out with you today. As in previous episodes, we're going to continue to roll with the same format where we kind of cruise the news and we scan the internet for some of the latest pickleball topics. And we got some good ones today. Interested to see what Danae has to say and what you guys have to say. So as always, let us know in the comments your thoughts. And should we hop right into it?
Let's go right into it.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change, yeah.
You guys, people are all up in arms this week on all things MLP. Really quick, if you don't know what MLP is, it's Major League Pickleball. This is the team format for professional pickleball, which we just had an event. Now, an article leaked, and it is allegedly, big emphasis on allegedly, written by Colin Johns, who is partnered with Ben Johns in regular format for the most part and team format. So I'm going to hit on a couple points because this article is all about how he hates and despises Major League Pickleball. So I'm going to read a couple of these and I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So some of the reasons why allegedly Colin Johns despises MLP is one, a top player like Ben Johns, for example, is the top of the top player for men's, and he's handicapped and punished by being a top player because he has to play with lower tier players. Because of course, how the draft works is if you're drafted first, then you know.
Yeah, it's an auction draft. So basically, the pro or the owners spent a lot of money on Ben with the first pick, yep. And didn't have as much left over and didn't really spend much of what they had.
And they had more to spend, I'll say.
They did have more to spend. So.
But that's besides the point. Basically, he says it's unfair to penalize a top player like that. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Can you keep going? I'm going to give some of my thoughts in a little bit.
At the
bit.
End? Okay.
Yeah, I have thoughts about it, but I don't want to, okay. I don't want to overshadow the rest of this.
Okay. Again, I'm going to be really brief with this because it's a pretty long article. So number two is the scoring system. So if you guys don't know, pickleball, Major League Pickleball, it does rally scoring. And so basically he says, you know, it actually helps the inferior team because of the freeze and it's rally score. And he has stuff to say about that. He also talks about the team effort and how, like, again, it's very hard to play with lower tier players. He talks about the singles, which is the Dream Breaker. If you guys don't know, the Dream Breaker is everybody on the team plays 4 points and it kind of cycles through. And he talks about how it's really just not that big of a focus outside of Major League Pickleball, but it's very a huge part of Major League Pickleball, actually, he argues. He also talks about how the environment is very encouraged to be hyped and also chirpy and also bad sportsmanship in some
trash
ways,
talk.
Trash talk, all that stuff. And he talks about how it's not a fun environment to play in because of that. He also talks about how the venues are absolutely terrible. He goes off on a tangent about how the ball is absolutely terrible. And he also talks about how paddle testing is absolutely terrible. So there's a lot that he goes into. We'll link the article somewhere in the description, but what are your thoughts on kind of this little brief overview?
So here's some brief thoughts, and then I'm going to get into some more thoughts. But briefly, I understand that he maybe has some points. Maybe MLP is still in undergoing some growing pains. Let's put that out there. But here's where I'm at. I'm like, everybody plays with the same ball. Mm-hmm. Everybody yeah. plays with the same rules. Everybody plays at the same venue. Mm-hmm. To his point about, you know, the teams being stacked, I get it. But he also is on the team with the best player in the world. So, yeah, I think it's clear that Colin hasn't had the greatest results in MLP, but he also has had a tough year in the PPA. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's some clear frustration here. I think the game is evolving, not just the MLP and the team format, but I think the game itself is evolving and it's not favoring his style of play. And I think he's still learning to make adjustments. I think that makes all of this, you know, that amplifies all of this, right? If he was playing really well, if he was, you know, if they hadn't gotten knocked out early from some PPA tournaments, like if he was having a better 2024, I don't know that you'd see him venting, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
But go ahead.
Oh, I was going to talk. There are some things that I agree with him.
Okay, what do you agree with him on?
I do think the scoring system, it favors inferior players. I do.
How so?
Because of the freeze, for example. So if you guys don't know, there's a freeze when a team gets to, what is it, 24 now?
They've changed it a couple of times, but now it's game point. So you have to win on your serve.
Is that 24?
Game place is 25.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah, you'd freeze at 24.
You freeze at 24, meaning, you know, the whole thing is everybody gets a point every
rally. Yeah.
You know, until you get to 24. And obviously, if you're the serving team, you are at a disadvantage. And so that freeze makes a big difference. And so if you guys have ever played rally scoring, to me, it feels way different than traditional scoring. And I really do believe that it does favor the inferior team. Now, as a viewer, I think rally scoring is definitely exciting because it keeps things really close. Like, it's very hard to honestly pull away, in my opinion, with rally scoring as with traditional scoring. I think it's a lot easier to like get on a run and really create a good gap. It's hard to do that with rally scoring. So I actually totally get what he says with the scoring system. And if I was a pro, I would probably feel the same way. I think it's interesting.
You've played PPA events. You've played minor league pickleball events, team events. What do you like playing best? Rally or traditional side out scoring?
I love side out scoring more than rally scoring.
Why?
Because I think it's more fair. You know, I think this, again, favors the weaker team.
Right.
It favors the weaker team. So to me, side out scoring, there's like no favoritism. There's no freeze. There's none of that.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's more fair to do traditional scoring, but I think the team format is fun. So that's the trade-off, is that it's like, oh, like we have this really fun format, but to me, the scoring, it's a downside.
And, you know, I've thought about, I don't know if any of the viewers or any of the listeners have thought about this, but I've thought about what would it look like for them to put on an MLP team style event, but it's not rally scoring, it's side out scoring. And I think the issue there is that side out scoring, or the traditional scoring where you can only score on your serve, those games can vary from being 15 minutes long to
like an hour
to 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
When you play a rally scoring game, it's typically anywhere from like 15 to 20 minutes, maybe 25 if it's a nail biter, but usually they're 15 to 20 minute games. So it allows for the flow of the tournament and everything to go, you know, accordingly, because they're having to cycle in so many different matches between a team. If, you know, two teams were playing and it was side out scoring, then realistically, if all those games were 30 plus minutes long, you're looking at over 2 hours for one match. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's ever going to be a thing personally, but I agree with you. I like to play traditional scoring better. I also haven't played in a team formatted tournament. You've played in a couple. And so I know that you had a lot of fun playing in them.
It was really fun. Yeah. It's really fun. Like I said, it's a ton of fun, but yeah, the scoring kind of sucks. Yeah.
So you kind of feel Colin in this sense.
Yeah. I totally feel him on that point. I'm like, dude, yeah, if I was a pro, honestly, if I was a top pro, yeah, the scoring would bother me, because I'd be like, oh, I'm unfairly like feeling this.
But the ball.
But yeah, the venue. I do think the paddle testing issue is a huge issue. Also, yeah. I agree with him completely on the paddle testing. They've got to figure that out. But yes, the ball in the venue, I'm like, that's out of your control. Everyone's playing in the same venue. Everyone's playing with the same ball.
And I think you bring up an interesting point there, because if you think about, I would think that people that would like PPA versus MLP, I think that a lot of the top players in the world, it makes sense that they like the PPA.
1000%.
Because they're on top a lot. They're going to the quarterfinals or beyond.
Yeah.
But all these players that are trying to advance in the sport, I think MLP actually favors those players. You look at like a Amari Humberg or somebody who had a great first half of the season.
Or Zane. Yeah. He's been notoriously, you know, he's with the Squeeze last season and got a big win. I think he would even say this. He's probably not going to win PPA unless he's partnered with
an amazing partner. And that's just it. A lot of the top dogs in the PPA are partnered together.
Yeah.
So a person like Mari Humberg, who's on Anna Lee Waters' team, now she's getting to come in and play with the best player in the world, but she probably wouldn't have gotten that opportunity maybe ever.
Yeah.
And she's able to advance. So I actually think MLP, because it evens the playing field a little bit, it actually allows for these new partnerships, which allows for the emergence of new players. So this brings up something though, because you saw Zane Navratil. You mentioned Zane liking MLP. It's clear he's had more success in MLP. Mm-hmm. He seems to somehow be in the finals or win MLP every time.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of the MLP goat, you know, right now. But he's not a top. I mean, he's maybe sneaks into the top 10 of male players, maybe sneaks into the top 10 in the PPA. So I think, you know, it's really interesting. He came out kind of in response to Collins' alleged, was it an email leak
or
a post? Anyways, it has yet to be confirmed that this was actually Colin Johns, but I think it probably was.
Allegedly.
But Zane came out and he said this. He said, I love MLP for a variety of reasons. So basically, just the opposite of Colin. And he says, you know, I know Colin was talking about how it's bad for a player like Ben Johns, you know, to be able to stack the deck, right? So basically, Zane says top players can't stack the deck and against the rest of the field by teaming up with the next best players. The distribution of talented players throughout the league creates for more parity. So basically, I mean, he goes on to say that Zane's take on this is, you know, it actually makes it, that's why he loves it. That's why Colin hates it, and it's why Zane loves it. And I think that's kind of what we were just talking about. Zane goes on to bring up other sports, which I thought was really interesting. He brings up like you take like a Lionel Messi or you take a LeBron James, you know, in other sports, a Luka Doncic. You take all these other pro athletes, they play team sports, yet they still are considered the best players in the world. And I think there's been this debate that, can you really tell who the best players in the world are in this format? And I think that in other sports, you can. You can tell who. It's not like LeBron's out there playing one-on-one or two-on-two against people. It's a team format. It's a team game. So I still think Zane's saying, you know, you can still figure out who the best players are. He says dream breakers are electric. He says dream breakers are electric. Enough said. He kind of mentions what we just talked about how, you know, he loves MLP because the players are fully engaged for those 20 minutes that they're out on the court, where, you know, it's very easy if you're getting slaughtered in a side out scoring game where it's harder to come back, players can kind of check out. And so what's interesting to me about this also, another side of this is that, you know, you had a handful of players at the beginning of the season opt out of MLP. So you don't have a Matt Wright, you don't have Lucy, you don't have the Brascia sisters. Julian Arnold currently isn't on an MLP team. There's a handful of players that chose not to play MLP. Colin chose to play MLP. He knew what he was getting into, you know? Yeah. And so that's where I think that's like, you know, if you're so against it, then why don't you just play PPA, you know? Because I think there's clearly other players that are doing that. And I think that maybe that there's just a little frustration. And I tend to agree with Zane maybe more than I agree with Colin. is that, you know, I do think it's more entertaining and that level playing field is what the sport needs to advance. You know, I think I do. I think that one of the knocks of the PPA Tour is that it's the same matchups that end up at in Championship Sunday. And like I mentioned before, I think it's harder for emerging pros. I think MLP is going to allow for new talent to get in. I think it's very interesting what can happen with the teams, with the trades, all of that. I'm a big fan of MLP. Now, I don't think that it should replace the PPA Tour.
Yeah.
So
I agree. I'm with you. I think that it's nice to have them both because to me, MLP is like kind of like this breath of fresh air, something unique, something fun. But there is something to me, like I said, with like the rally scoring and like all these kind of the dream breakers, all that stuff. I like that we have both. I think the PPA is irreplaceable. And I think MLP is a very fun breath of fresh air for professional pickleball.
And you know, guys, I do want to read this because I thought it was kind of endearing. We've met Zane before at a tournament. He's a nice guy.
He's awesome.
He said this at the end of his kind of response.
Yeah, I liked this.
He said, prior to becoming a professional pickleball player, I was a CPA working about 70 hours a week. I never forget how lucky I am to be able to chase the Vulcan ball around as a profession. Some people are lucky enough to even make millions doing so. So Zane's kind of like bringing it back to, you know, at the end of the day, I want to remain thankful that I get to do this for a living, which I thought was cool. I think that there's a lot of excitement, a lot of optimism, because I think it's one thing to say that you love a format. It's another thing to say that you hate a format, you know? So I think, you know, Zane's not, even though Zane's clearly in the MLP boat, he's not out there, you know, making posts about how he dislikes the PPA. So I think it's just, it, you know, obviously, like we said, these remarks from Colin allegedly happened. And I think that there's some frustration there, but I think it does. It takes a lot to come out and voice your frustration. You really, like, what's the point of that? Is he wanting things to change or is he just frustrated?
And I don't think, like, I don't want to bash Colin either. I think Colin is, you know, he's a pro. He's been in this sport for a long time. He's arguably one of the most knowledgeable people about the sport. I think that he has some legitimate frustrations too. And, you know, do I agree with all of them? No. But do I agree with some of them? Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, you kind of have to see both sides.
Yeah.
But guys, let us know in the comments. Comment PPA if you like watching the PPA. If you like watching the MLP more, comment MLP. And if you want to, go ahead and expand a little bit on it. Let us know, what do you prefer? And do you agree with some of these things? Can you see Colin's side? Can you see Zane's side? Kind of where do you fit in the boat when it comes to the MLP and the PPA? We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball.
I love it.
All right, that wraps up our first segment. So let's move on to the next one, shall we?
Yeah, so this was a post, and this is about paddles. So this person writes, when choosing a paddle, do you pick one that enhances your strength or one that improves your weakness? So if you're a power player, do you go for a soft paddle to help with your drops and resets, or do you go for a power paddle to make you a super power player?
I think it's an interesting question. I kind of am in the boat where I want a paddle that's going to improve my weaknesses, not my strengths. So I think I'm in the boat where I tend to think I have a little bit better control and finesse than the average player, but I don't have overwhelming power, you know? So I tend to lean towards a power paddle because I'm like, I can control a power paddle and I get that extra pop. Where even if I can control a control paddle, it may be easier to control, but I might lack some extra put away power. So for me, I like to have the paddle kind of like well round me, if that makes sense, versus like I'm a control player, so I want a control paddle, or I'm a power player, so I want a power paddle. What do you think?
I agree with you. I personally play with a power paddle because I don't have like the power that a lot of, for example, if you come from a tennis background, you just have really great technique for the most part for power shots. And I just never really had that. So a power paddle is something that I prefer, but I do know like there are people that are very powerful players that pick a power paddle because they want to capitalize it. I think everybody's probably a little bit different. We seem to probably pick a paddle that helps our weaknesses. But I think for you guys, like, I think you go try both and see where you land, because some people really like to capitalize on their strength.
Yeah. I remember we were actually talking about a particular pro player not too long ago who has a lot of power and he uses a softer paddle. And we were like, what would happen if he had a power paddle? You know, like, it's almost like, would he be unstoppable, or would the ball fly out every time? You know, it's kind of that balance, I guess. But yeah, I think that there's, guys, there's obviously a lot of great options. Obviously, this podcast is brought to you by Selkirk. So head on over to selkirk.com and check out the paddle selection there. Guys, just a quick shout out to playpickleball.com. That is the YouTube channel that Danae and I have the privilege of kind of managing. And we have a team that works with us, and we put out a brand new YouTube video every Wednesday. So be sure to go on over to playpickleball.com on YouTube. And there's tons of instructional content. Make sure you like and subscribe. All right. Should we go to the next one?
Let's do it.
Cool. All right. This was, I thought, a little interesting. It's kind of more of a fun one, but this came from, I'm going to try it like I always do, the wonderful world of Reddit. God, that was good. I got it the first time. So it says this, quite a bit of engagement on this too. 5 days ago, I think it was posted, but it said, pickleball is great, but does the name hold it back? As much as we love the game of pickleball, there's no denying that it often raises eyebrows. It's a fantastic sport growing in popularity in many countries around the world. Yet I think the name is one of the barriers preventing it from being taken more seriously in broader sports communities. I'm interested to see what you say. So basically, this guy is under the impression that, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't want to try pickleball because it sounds lame, you know? Yeah. So he's like, is this affecting the growth? I thought, I want to hear what you have to say, but first I want to read some of these comments just because I think they're funny. This guy said, could be worse. Ever play cornhole? Thought that was funny. This guy says, hate the name. Totally agree. This guy says, the name is silly and matches the game.
Dead.
This guy says, you should call it wiffle tennis. There's a ton of them. You guys can go read them. We'll post a link to this in the description. But there's a lot of differing views. There were a lot in here that people said, I love the game. You know, I think it plays into kind of how pickleball can be for everybody. It's approachable. You know, it kind of sounds maybe a little odd or funny to somebody that's never played it before. But it makes it really approachable as opposed to it being this really serious sport, which, you know, pickleball has such a low barrier of entry. We've talked about that before, and I think that's why it's continuing to explode. So maybe the name actually helps that it has a lower barrier of entry. But I do know that we've also seen a lot of people in the comments that hate on the sport, which is kind of interesting to me. So what do you think? Do you think that the name, like, holds people back? Like, when you first heard of pickleball, I know that you played it first in, like, high school or something, but so maybe it was introduced to you a little bit earlier, but were you like, what is pickleball? I'm not going to play that. Or were you kind of just, I'll try it.
I was in gym class, so I kind of had to try it, but I guess I didn't really think much about the game, the name of the game. Like, I just was like, oh, pickleball. Interesting. I think as I grew to love it, I was like, oh man, it is like a little quirky, but I've grown to the spot where I'm like, it is what it is. Like, it's not going to change now. So
yeah, I'm like, I couldn't imagine calling it anything
else. I can't call it anything different. So it's hard to even imagine. Do I think that it holds people back at this point? No, I don't. I think it's so popular at this point that I don't think it holds people back. I think it's quirky. I think it's fun. I feel like it's kind of grown on me in the years.
Absolutely.
What about you?
I can see both sides. You know, I can see people being like that. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk, especially amongst former tennis players, are like, oh, that's so lame. It's not even a sport. You hear that one a lot, which clearly you've never played it if you think it's not a sport. But I think that, yeah, maybe that plays into people's mindsets. Oh, how can pickleball be a sport, you know, just by the name? But guys, let us know. What do you think in the comments? Is the name pickleball holding people back from trying it? If it was named something more like wiffle tennis or something like that, do you think more people would try it, or do you think less people would try it? And do you have any ideas? Let us know in the comments if you have ideas of what you would name pickleball if it wasn't pickleball. Because I don't even know what I would call it. Okay, guys, we do have the last segment of our show here. We have a couple questions that came on our previous podcast. If you haven't listened to last week's podcast, it's still up. And we talked about some of the latest paddle drama, more technology issues at tournaments, stuff like that. So be sure to go check it out. But I got a couple questions here that were submitted, and let's see what you think. First one is, a lot of people talk about how coming from other sports gives players advantages, i.e. tennis, ping pong, other racket sports, which obviously helps swing mechanics. But outside of that, which sports do you think help the most that aren't racket sports? Any thoughts?
You know, I've always said, like, this is so funny because this has nothing to do with swing mechanics, but like, I feel like my background with endurance running helps a ton on tournaments. Because tournaments are an all day long event.
Yeah.
And you are just like, I've been at tournaments where you're there 6 to 8 hours.
And really getting tired does. I mean, I know you and I went out and drilled. Yesterday it was awesome. Like, it's Florida and it's hot. It was like 80% humidity and 95 degrees, probably 100 degrees on court. And we were exhausted. Gassed.
But
it really does affect your shots though when you're tired.
Exactly. I think at the end of a long tournament day, I often say it's not necessarily the best team that wins, but the one that's the least gassed, the one that's the least tired. And so as funny as it sounds, I feel like my history with endurance running has played a massive advantage for tournaments specifically.
Yeah, I could see that. I played baseball, and I think baseball is probably one that can help in some ways with hand-eye coordination. Also, just fielding a ground ball, moving laterally side to side could maybe help a little bit with like dinking and moving laterally at the line. I do know that Annalee Waters had a prolific soccer background.
And she talks about how that helped her footwork, actually.
So I think what's we emphasize a lot the swing path from racket sports, but I think the footwork from certain sports, like maybe baseball, soccer. I think Hayden Patrickman played baseball growing up. So I think, Dylan Frazier might have played baseball too. I can't remember. But I think, footwork is a big one. And then you bring up a good point with endurance and the mental toughness that probably comes with endurance and other sports like that that can translate into pickleball. But let us know what you guys think in the comments.
And something I like to hear is if you guys played a sport before pickleball, I like to hear it. Because I often find when I talk to people at tournaments, pickleball becomes like their new way they find to compete. And so I find a lot of athletes enjoy pickleball. So if you did a sport, comment down below what sport it was before you picked up pickleball. I love to hear about that.
Yeah. Do you want to read our last question?
Yes.
It's at the bottom.
Okay, so this question is, we talk a lot about paddles, but getting feedback on the best ways to take care of them would be helpful. Best ways to clean them, etc.
Yeah, so I don't know. This one's pretty simple. It's interesting. You know, I don't know. Do you clean your paddle ever?
I literally don't clean my paddle.
I think maybe everyone's
gross. I don't know.
I think everyone's a little different. I think we have seen some of the carbon fiber paddles. People come out with these paddle erasers. probably find one if you Googled it. But I don't know. Do you think that
my biggest tip, if you live in a very humid state, for example, we live in Florida, we established this very hot, very humid, especially in the summer, your grip. Okay. Your grip will collect sweat.
It's true.
And it's gross if you just put it back in your bag. So like we have to, at least I have to let my paddle sit out of my bag so that it completely dries.
Yeah. I think the same is true if it's hot with shoes too. Like
sick, but yes, absolutely sick. So, that, and then obviously your grip, you have to change it a lot more in the summer if you live in a humid state.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I would say is that I have noticed people that have had some success putting protective tape like on the edge guard or on the edge of your paddle. I know Selkirk makes some other brands make some protective tape, but if you use protective tape, usually when paddles break or usually when paddles start to wear down, they get a lot of wear and tear on the edges because the paddle can get like scraped on the ground or when you're pulling it out of your bag. So I think to prolong the longevity of your paddle, some protective like edge guard tape might help as well. So those would be our tips. Guys, please remember, submit questions below. However you're consuming this podcast, send questions in. You can DM your questions into the playpickleball.com Instagram. You can also respond to, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can respond in the comments, add those questions, and we'd love to get to them in a future pod. Well, I think that's about it. Got anything else?
That's all I got.
Well, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection. We will see you on the next one.